everybody. Are you blessed today?
Blessed.
Good to be with you, and I want to echo what was just said. How many know God's here today?
Yes.
And he'll get right in the chair with you. We just read this verse on trusting in the Lord, you know, and a mistake that people make is the thought comes, well, if I just trust God, I'll be okay. In just a real general sense, you know, well, if okay, I'm just trusting God, meaning I'm not worrying about it or whatever. I would just put it over on God. But did you notice the rest of that verse that it talked about staying where he planted you?
Right. Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Finding out where he's planting you,
yeah.
Staying there,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, it went over about as good when I said it. Yeah. I just wanted to try again, see if it was going to go over any better when I said it than when you said it. But how many know it's true? Like it was just said, I have nothing to offer today except words from heaven.
Right.
But they're living words.
Yes.
And they're truth.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And just don't make me come back there. I'll come back to where you're seating. You know, it's always humorous to us, kind of funny a little bit to us, that we just, as you know, if you live here in Denver, our great Denver Nuggets just won the NBA final. Some of you probably didn't even know that you live there. But how many didn't know that? You didn't know? Okay, let me start. Denver Nuggets are our professional basketball team, NBA basketball. And we won it all.
We won it all.
This year, we did. And in 47 years, they had never won the championship. And they did this year. And I noticed that they would show the celebrities in the crowd. Our quarterback, if you don't know that, you probably don't know that we have a football team called the Denver Broncos. And there, we have a quarterback who's he's married to a famous kind of entrepreneur, music person, I don't even know her name. Who's Russell Wilson's wife?
I don't know.
I come to the wrong church.
Yeah.
I think it's Ciara or something like that. She's famous.
Okay.
He's famous. And they are all on the front row.
Right. The Nuggets game.
Peyton Manning, you know who he was? He was a famous football player. He was on the front row. All of the celebrities who hit the big money people were all on the front row.
$7,000 ticket. Well, yeah.
And they call that the good seats.
Come on.
And so it's funny that people say, you know, and I'm not fussing at anybody. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know some got kids. They got to be able to get to the kids. And all. But some folks say, let's get there early so we can get a good seat in the back. But in the and this is general admission. You didn't have to pay to get here.
That's right.
So just know that I don't know. It doesn't seem like the basketball game should have the good seats up front.
No.
And church have the good seats
come
in
on,
back. So, but you do you.
Yep.
That's why I said, don't make me come back there. We're going to invite you to turn to the passage we've been reading the past couple weeks, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. This has been a blessing for me to get to minister to you a couple weeks in a row. As you know, Pastor Amy normally handles what we call the heavy lifting around here. And in fact, because I'm sometimes gone preaching, I'll be gone next week.
No.
So if you say, when are we going to get the greater one back?
Whatever.
Well, next week. And so thank you for allowing me to minister here for a couple. Praise the Lord. It's okay to say amen in this church, just so you know. It's okay to say praise the Lord if you hear something that's good. And you're going to hear something that's good today. We've been speaking on a subject, I'll be honest with you, it's in the body of Christ among Christians. This is the most controversial subject in the body of Christ. We're not preaching it to be controversial. We're preaching it because years ago, we committed to preach the Word of God and say what God said.
Right.
And then when He deals with us by His Spirit to preach on certain things, we committed to obey Him. Like I said to you a couple weeks ago, we care for you, but we don't care what you like or dislike. Because how many know everybody would have things they'd rather hear? Right? There's things that, and how many would rather hear things that don't require any change on your part?
Right.
I'll raise both hands for that. How many would like to hear things that don't step on your toes?
Right?
And they just make you feel good about you.
Right.
You'd rather hear that. I mean, you in the flesh, I'm talking about. You'd rather hear that. We all would.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you know, if you're going to grow, Look, you can look to me as an example. Do you know that we talked about athletes. Do you know I have as many muscles as a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman?
Right.
I do. I have biceps. They have biceps. They don't have more biceps than me.
No.
But they have greater, theirs are more developed.
Yes.
I've got triceps. They got triceps. No. Why are we different? Why are they getting paid millions of dollars to push people? And they ain't asking me to do that. How come? Because they've developed it. I've got thighs.
Yeah.
But their arms are bigger than my thighs.
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah.
We got the same muscles.
Right.
They've done something with it. And the way they developed was through something called resistance.
Yes. Yes.
Resistance.
Yes.
They got on a machine or they got underneath a big bar loaded down with resistance, and it's resistance that caused those muscles to develop and caused them to progress.
Yes.
And how many know if you want to grow as a Christian, it's going to take some resistance.
Yep.
And fortunately, we don't have to beg for that. We don't just have a Lord Jesus. We have a devil, Satan. He'll give you resistance. He'll oppose you. Because he's not interested in any Christian growing.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And then don't get me wrong. God will even, if God sees that you're serious about growing with him, he'll even let you get in some places where things just aren't all comfortable. He'll get you out of your comfort zone.
Right.
You know what? Anybody ever been out of your comfort zone?
Yes.
God took you out and dumped you in a place that wasn't comfortable.
Right.
Why? Why? That's resistance. It helps you develop. It forces you. Amen. So we're going to preach on something today, as we have been, the subject of Bible prosperity. Now, why that's controversial, I really have no idea. Because is God our Father?
Yes.
What father doesn't want things to go well for his children? I've never met one. I had two kids from the day they were born until last night. I was praying for one of them last night when I wasn't sleeping. But anyhow, good to be productive when you're awake, right? I was praying for one of them, and I wasn't praying that bad things happened to them.
No.
In fact, I don't want bad things happening for my kids.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
Do they need to grow more? Yeah, they need to grow more. Do they need to learn some lessons?
Sure.
Yeah, they need to learn some lessons. But I'm not praying that some tragedy befalls them. I'm not, right?
No,
we want good things.
Right.
I want good things for my kids. You know how come?
You're a good dad.
I'm a good father.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a good father.
Yeah.
Am I the best father? Probably not. But I'm a good father. Is God a good father?
Yes.
How many think God's at least as good a father as I am?
Yes.
Huh?
Probably.
At least. But don't you know he's way better?
He's way better.
He's the best father.
Yes.
Is he or is he not?
He's the best.
Huh? He would be the greatest example. You might not have grown up with a present, father in your life who was a great example. Doesn't matter. You have God.
Yes.
You have God.
Yes.
And if I want good things for my children.
Right.
Well, you know what Matthew 7:11 says, don't you?
Matthew 7:11.
You go to 7-Eleven. You get gas at 7-Eleven. I hope it's verse 11. Is it? Put it up there because I'm not turned there. I tell you, go to where?
Deuteronomy.
Where are you? You're in Deuteronomy. We're going to get there. Praise God, everybody. Matthew 7:11. This is all you need to remember. 7:11. If you then who are evil. Now that evil doesn't mean you're like Hitler evil.
Right.
Evil means you're natural. And this, he was talking to people who didn't know God.
Right.
And that they translated it evil. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much less?
No, that's not what it said.
Am I seeing? Do I need my glasses?
Yes.
What's it say?
How much
more will your Father who is in heaven give, not bad things, good things to those who ask him? Now that shouldn't make you sad, friends. That should make you happy.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Whatever you do for your kids, if you have kids, or you just imagine what you would do if you had kids.
Right.
Most parents I know, they want their kids to have it better than what they had it.
Right.
Right? If you struggled coming, if you saw your parents struggling coming up, I guarantee you, your parents don't want you to go through the same struggles. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And you're that way. You want the best for your kids. Yes.
Amen.
And I know parents that would sacrifice stuff and sell something that they own to be able to do something for their kids.
Right.
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 People will do all kinds of things for the children. When I was in high school, we were all, I hung around all the other musicians because that's what I was doing. And there was a gal who went to a different high school that didn't have a good music program. Her parents, actually, you couldn't do like they do here in Douglas County. You can just say, I want to go to a different school, and they'll pretty much let you. But you couldn't do that where I grew up in the great South Florida school systems. It wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
But anyhow, we had a real good music program. This parent, they rented an apartment in our district so their daughter could play flute in our band. And how, that's inconvenient.
Yes.
It was further from where they worked.
Yeah.
They still had their house where they lived, but they rented a place. They rented a place in our place and had to live there.
Wow.
Had to live in it.
Wow.
She had to ride that school bus from there.
Yeah.
And I knew right where it was. It was right off my street.
Yeah.
And that's a good parent wanting opportunity for their kid.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that as a natural parent, how many know God would go to any lengths possible to do good things? Everybody say good things.
Good things.
Good things for his children.
Hallelujah.
So you have to actually go to church and learn religious sounding phrases to not believe this.
Right. Right.
And that's why I say this is such a controversial subject, because so many in the body of Christ are taught that, well, if you believe in prosperity, if you believe in some of what this the Bible says, that you're just full of greed. We ain't preaching greed this morning. We're preaching God this morning. So in Deuteronomy 8, I gave you 15 minutes to find it. We've been ministering just on this passage, and it's an amazing passage, because this is God's promise to his children, his people, Israel.
Yes.
And it says in verse 7, we're just going to read it, and listen, hear it at not just from my mouth. What did Pastor Amy say? The Bible's God speaking to you. So hear it as though God's talking to you. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everyone say, good land.
Good land.
A land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. You might say, what's so good about that? Does anybody know where Israel was wandering during this period of time? They were in the desert wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many know if you're in the desert wilderness, then this has to sound really good. This would be a really good land.
Yes.
Brooks of water? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We want something to drink? We just go right out the tent and drink? Yes.
Yeah.
Fountains and springs. I'm going to know water features at your house would be okay to have you a nice water feature.
I don't mind that.
I'm going to know a pool.
Oh,
right? We right behind, all you have to do is when the service is done, go over there and look. And there's brooks, fountains, and springs.
Yeah. That's true.
Right here.
Right here. Yeah.
But, you know, there's some folk that have this kind of stuff in their backyard.
Right.
You might like, what's your point? I'm just reading, okay? I don't have a point. The next verse says, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oils and honey. I'm sorry, olive trees and honey.
Yeah.
A land in which, and this is what summarizes it. Verse 9 says, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Do you see that? This is God's desire for you and I, is that we would lack nothing. This is good news. It's such good news. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And verse 10 says, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. So much of what we hear about this subject is, well, you don't want to get too much. You just want to have enough for you. And, that will keep you serving God. But notice that a place where you lack nothing. God, the Bible says, you'll eat and be full and you'll bless the Lord for the good land he has given you.
Amen.
This doesn't seem like a bad thing,
no.
Does it?
No.
This seems like a good thing.
Right.
I want to tell you, lack is a bad thing.
Come on. Yeah.
Now, some of you might not have lived long enough, and maybe you have, but some of you might not have lived long enough to know what it's like to not have money to eat. Or to not be able to pay a bill.
Right.
Or not to have really a place to live.
Right.
And we won't ask for testimonies.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been there, that's not a blessing.
No.
You might say, some folk will say, well, that's the place where I turned to God. Well, good. But don't say that God put you there.
Right.
You could have turned to God earlier.
Right.
Huh?
So,
it is true that many people, it takes because they'll hear but not hear.
Yeah.
They'll see truth but not really see it, and they'll ignore it because like we said earlier, you don't always want to change. How many know coming to Christ means one thing, if it means anything? It means there's change coming.
Right.
Right?
Right.
When I received Jesus, everything changed.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
It seemed like everything changed at once, but then everything changed as I went too.
Right.
I mean, people I thought who were my friends, they didn't want to be my friends anymore.
Right.
And so relationships changed, and all kinds of things changed.
Right.
And it continues today.
Yes.
Change, change, change. God will ask you to do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
All kinds of change. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Well, what was I saying when I got off on that? Something really good. Let's keep reading this, can we? Oh yeah, I was saying you don't have to get down and hit bottom to come to God.
Right.
If that's when you found him, like me, that's when I came to Christ.
Right.
When I was at death's door from a disease.
Yeah.
What a time.
Not fun.
But thank God, at least I turned at that point. You might say, did God put that disease on you? No, he didn't.
No.
I know he didn't. He's not. You can't call somebody a good father if they're putting disease, right? I had to discipline my kids when they were growing up.
Right.
They're in their mid-20s now, live in another state. But we had to discipline them growing up, daily. Sometimes every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes just a word of discipline. Sometimes we had to have what we call a come to Jesus meeting. How many know what I'm talking about? Bigger discipline.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it never occurred to me to get some Lyme disease and put it on them. Never occurred to me to get some kind of cancer.
Come on. To discipline.
It never occurred to, right? That's not how you'd say that's sick.
Yeah.
That's what people accuse God of every day. They'll say, God put this on me. But that's not what he does. Amen. So I was suffering from a disease, and I finally, it got my attention. You know why? When you get real close to death, you start thinking about what'll happen when you die. I was there.
Yeah.
I was there, 18 years old. I was a mess. I mean, I weighed so little, I had lost so much weight, I was wasting away from a disease. And the doctors couldn't figure out what to do. And I'm starting to think about, oh my God, what if I go out into eternity? And I knew I'd go to hell.
Yeah.
You might say, were you a bad person? Wasn't a bad person, was a pretty decent person.
Yeah.
You don't go to heaven because you're a good person, you go to heaven because God's good.
Yes.
Amen. And because you receive what Jesus did, that's how you go to heaven.
Yes.
You don't go to hell because you're a bad person, you go to hell because you didn't receive or you rejected what you heard. So we're not wanting to reject what God says.
No.
We want to receive what God says.
Yes.
Amen. And believe right about who he is and what he wants for us. He wants you to live in a place without lack. And it's possible to serve him there with your whole heart. And you can come to God and draw closer to Him in the good times, just like you can in bad times.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Don't believe the lie that you have to hit bottom in order to turn to God.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
That was all free, meaning it wasn't part of my message. But some of these things you can't hear just too much, right? Deuteronomy 8, we're still there. Verse 11, now this is just as important as the rest of it. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is what?
Multiply.
You think God likes this word multiply?
Yeah.
Just keeps using it. Well, when that happens, we still must keep ourselves.
Right.
We still must keep our hearts right. Thank you for your help today. Be careful that then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions. How many have ever felt like you're there? You might not have literal serpents, but you feel like stuff's biting you, eating you. Come on. I've been there. Maybe you haven't. I hope you never go. But we've been there where we felt like we're in the wilderness. Amen. But God brought us out. Amen. Who, verse 18 said, who fed you in the wilderness. I'm sorry, 16. The letters got small there for a second. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Verse 17 says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18 is our text that we read all that just to get to this verse, where it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is an amazing verse. And again, you might say, well, why do we care so much about money? We don't care so much about, in fact, we care so little about money.
Right.
But we care so much about God. And He said, as you remember me, don't forget this.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't forget that part of what I have for you is to give you the ability to obtain wealth. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. Did I write Deuteronomy?
No.
No. You happen to know if I... Now, I've written 18 books.
Yes.
I'm not counting or anything. But we do have to send them out.
Yes.
And the reason I know how many we write is we're sitting there sending them out to people and we're like, something's missing. And so we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to know, okay, there is something missing and we'll have to figure out which book it is that we didn't get.
Yeah.
There's probably a better way to do that, but we haven't figured it out yet. I've written 18 books, but I've never named any of them Deuteronomy.
No.
Because I don't even know exactly why it's called that. But there it is. I didn't write this. God wrote this. I'm not the one who said, don't forget this.
Right.
Remember this.
Remember.
God gives you the ability and the power to get or obtain wealth. And we've been looking really at the last part of this verse, because what do most people quote? Most people who quote this verse, anybody here, you ever quote this verse to yourself? Anybody ever quote scripture to yourself? You ever speak the word of God?
Yes.
Say what the word says about you?
Amen. Yes.
Maybe you don't have any needs, but I do. I say this a lot.
Right.
I say, thank you, Lord, that you give me the power to get wealth.
Yes.
I don't mean power as in, well, I can get up this morning and do what everybody else does. This is talking about God's power.
Yes.
This is talking about God giving you His ability to go further.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
You can believe it or not believe it, but it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we quote the first part of this, but the last part of this is really what's so amazing. It says that He may confirm His covenant. We talked about that in the last couple of weeks. You can go back, listen to on our podcast, Faith Church Colorado podcast. You can go back, listen to these. Matter of fact, I listened to it just a couple of days ago so I could remember what I preached last week. He'll give you the power to get wealth that He may confirm His covenant. What covenant? That He swore to your fathers,
right,
as it is this day. We began really last week talking about that phrase that says that he swore to your fathers. And this is talking to who now? This is Israel. Who were Israel's fathers? Now, this back then, I mean, if you knew it, this time, they would all know. If you told Israel, remember what your fathers taught you, they would all know who you're talking about.
Right.
And they would typically talk about three of them.
Right.
Who's the first one?
Abraham.
Who's the next one?
Isaac.
And then his son,
Jacob.
And of course, Jacob had a brother, but that he left the covenant. Jacob was the covenant son.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on down the line. That he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. So if you're going to find out what's in this wealth-producing covenant, you'd have to look to see what he gave to the fathers.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And the first place to look is the first father.
Yes,
Abraham.
Amen.
Now, I want to call, before we actually look at something, and we are going to look at something that, some things about Abraham, and I'm just warning you, it just might excite you. I mean, it's outstanding.
Yes.
Just telling you ahead of time. But before we do that, I want to call your attention to that very last phrase where it says, as it is this day. Now, if you, of course, this was written centuries ago. And you might say, well, that was just talking about that day. That day there. But we know this, that if it's in the Bible, it's for us, you know. But is it really for our day? Is it really for our day? How would we know whether something from the Old Testament is for our day? How do you think we'd find out? Go ahead and shout it out if you know. Where would you have to look? In the New Testament.
I'll say it.
That's our day. That is our day without argument, right? How many know that we live in the day of the New Testament,
right?
So if you want to apply this to our day, really, it has to be in the New Testament somewhere.
Right.
Do you care whether it is or isn't?
You should.
Is this not what you came for today? Did you think you were just coming for a little pep talk, a little feel-good talk?
Come on.
Huh? How many know we get into the word a little bit? We get into it. Let's look in Galatians, the third chapter, real quickly. You know, we don't ask you to believe anything because we say it. If you can't prove it in the word, don't believe it.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
But if we say it, we want to prove it.
Yes. Amen.
Now, one of the most popular verses in Galatians chapter 3 is the 13th verse. Many of you have heard it. Some of you maybe you haven't, but we're going to read this here. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. How many have heard this verse before?
Yes.
Christ redeemed us. That's a huge statement. Redemption has to do with the price he paid with his blood to set us free from spiritual death and everything that was included in that. It's a huge statement when you say redeemed.
Right.
Big. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. That's a quote from the Old Testament.
Right.
He hung on a tree called the cross.
Right.
And on that tree, he bore the curse.
Yes.
We don't have time to go into all that was included in the curse, but just know anybody who's without Christ is under the curse. The curse is not being in Christ.
Right?
And it includes everything. You know, how many know that sin kept people in bondage?
Yes.
And sin invited in all kinds of other things that were part of the curse.
Yes.
And all you, the good thing you need to know is Christ redeemed us when he died for us. But where we start to veer off in the body of Christ is a lot of churches stop there and say, well, he's redeemed us. He's saved us from hell. You don't have to go to hell. He's redeemed us from sin. You don't have to be in bondage to sin. But he didn't just deliver us from something bad. That's the point I want to make. He didn't just take us out of a bad situation and then just leave us in the world to be like anybody in the world who doesn't know God. How many know that when he brought us out of something bad, he also added to us things that we never had before? You know the greatest of those things? He came to live in us. We could be born again. Amen. We can actually live in constant fellowship with God. It's amazing. It's amazing what he's done. He added things to us. So he didn't just bring us out of the curse. He brought us to something called the blessing. And in the next verse, I want you to see this here. So that he redeemed us from the curse, so that in Christ Jesus, look at this, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Notice it talks about the blessing of who?
Abraham.
The covenant that I swore to your fathers,
yes.
Abraham,
yep.
Isaac, and Jacob.
Yep.
The blessing of Abraham.
Yeah.
What is that? That's the blessing as Abraham experienced it. The blessing like Abraham had it.
Yes.
The blessing like God promised it to Abraham. So does, you know, we read in Deuteronomy 8, the covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Tell me somebody, is that still the case for us in our day? Well, we just read right here. Galatians is written to the church. There's four churches that were written to in the region of Galatia. Galatia was a region. That's what the letter of Galatia. So the Galatians weren't just one church. That was a group of churches. Just in case you was wondering. But how many know we're, if it applies to the church, we're part of the church.
Yes.
And there's actually even more in Galatians chapter 3. That tells us how we can experience these things. The last verse in the chapter, we don't have time to read. You could read the whole chapter really, but the last verse says, if you are Christ, this is verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. And heirs according to promise.
Yes.
Meaning all the good things that God promised to Abraham. If you're in Christ, how many here, you're a Christian?
Yes.
You've received Jesus.
Yeah.
Be great if more than two people would raise their hand for that, but you know. If you're Christ, you're Abraham's offspring. That means Abraham is your
father.
If you're his offspring,
then he's my father.
Then he's your
father.
You might say, I thought God was my father. He is. God, Father God is your father. But there's a sense in which Abraham also is your father. Because Abraham introduced us to something very important called faith. Abraham is known as the father of faith. Because the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. I know I'm saying a lot, but would you look at one more thing in verse 9? No, verse 7. Galatians 3, verse 7. I mean, you could keep backing up, my goodness. But verse 7 says, know then that it is those of faith. In other words, those who understand faith, who are the sons of Abraham. And if you're his son, you're his heir.
Yes.
Meaning what was promised to him is promised to you. Now look down in the 9th verse. We're just skipping stuff for time here. So then, those who are of faith, oh my gosh, look at this, are blessed along with Abraham. The man of faith. Now, if you believe the Bible, this has got to do a little something for you. And so, I know what you're asking this morning. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this sounds good, but tell me how Abraham was blessed. That's what you're asking, right? Does somebody's timer just go off?
Not mine.
Okay. How was Abraham? Because we just read these verses. Christ redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing, like Abraham had it, could come upon us. And then it said, if you're Abraham's offspring, you're heirs according to the promise that he had. And then this said, if you, this helps give us more light, because it says, if you're of faith, those who understand faith, what is faith? It's how you and I receive from God today.
And it's how
Abraham started. So if you're of faith, you're blessed along with Abraham.
Right.
So being in Christ, and particularly understanding how to receive from God by faith, connects you to Abraham's lineage.
Yes. Amen.
And we're reading this because God promised several things to Abraham's offspring. To Abraham's seed.
Yes.
Now, naturally speaking, who is Abraham's seed? It was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then Jacob had how many sons? 12. That we call them the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And then there was born the nation of Israel. And Israel, from the natural standpoint, is Abraham's seed, right? Everyone who would call themselves the Jews, they would consider Abraham their father.
Right.
We're in that line. Meaning, if you're a Jew, I was raised Jewish. Yeah. Jason was raised Jewish. Yeah. Supposedly, we could trace it back, and if you keep tracing it back far enough, we're going to end up in one of those 12 tribes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go the next step up as Jacob.
Yeah.
And then the next step up as Isaac.
Yeah.
And then there we go.
Yeah.
Abraham.
Right.
Except most of us are half-breeds of some sort or another. And so people have told me for years, well, you're really blessed because you were raised Jewish. I mean, you're the seed of Abraham. And I have to tell them, I am blessed.
Yeah, but
I'm blessed because I'm in Christ. Because Abraham didn't just have a natural lineage.
Yeah.
He had a spiritual heritage or a spiritual lineage.
Yes.
And the blessing that God gave Abraham, that wasn't just for his natural, that really wasn't for his natural seed as much as it was for his spiritual seed. And so you and I, because we're in Christ, we've been connected to Abraham. We're his offspring. And the blessing that was on him is on us. You might say, I don't get it. Go back and listen to it. Don't just dismiss what you hear. Go back and listen to it some more.
Amen.
And then check it out in the Bible. See if I didn't give you Bible this morning. Now, do you have just a few more minutes?
Yes.
Huh? How many just looking straight ahead? You're just like, I don't know if I want to give you a few more minutes. What are you going to do with those few more minutes? How many will give me 5 minutes? Keep your hands up. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. That's an old preacher joke, but I'm not going to do that, okay? It's the oldest trick in the book for preachers. But I do want to look just a little bit. And you have to know God's helping us here today, isn't he? I do want to look just a bit. Okay, how did Abraham, if we're supposed to be blessed with the blessing of Abraham, show it to me. Yeah? Can we look? Go to Genesis chapter 12. Now, we don't have time just here in this service today to show you all of it. He was so blessed that it takes more than one look to look at it all. But over in Genesis, how many know that's the first book of the Bible?
Right.
And listen, I want to encourage you, friends, when you come, and do come every time. And if you say all we're here getting is you, Brother Joel, where's Pastor Amy? Well, come on Tuesday night. She's ministering on Tuesday. And if you say, last time I was here, Pastor Amy was here, you're not coming frequently enough. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it all starts with Abraham. Abraham grew up in a certain place.
Yeah.
And when Abraham was 75 years old, everybody say 75.
75.
God speaks to him.
Yeah.
At 75.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking around. I don't see anybody in here that's 75 years old. I might be the oldest one in here today. And I'm not even 75 years old.
No.
I'm looking good for how old I am. How old do you think I am?
Don't say.
Starts with a 3.
No, it doesn't.
Starts with a 5. And ends with a 5. But we're going to look good the whole way. The whole way. Praise the Lord. All right. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram. This is Abraham.
Yes.
His name used to be Abram.
Yeah.
Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Do you understand that the highest form of the blessing of the Lord is not you having stuff, but you being able to be a blessing? Everybody say, be a blessing.
Be a blessing.
Amen. Yeah.
Be a blessing.
Yeah.
What's that mean? You're able to do things on behalf of God for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is the highest form of the blessing of the Lord. Lest anybody think we're just talking about our own, you know, stacking up stuff for ourselves. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what you've ever heard us teach.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's not what we believe.
Right.
We don't believe in greed. We don't believe in encumbering ourselves with so many things that we don't have time for God, time for church, time. Right. No, we don't believe in that.
No. No.
But we believe in the blessing of the Lord. We believe in having His best,
yes,
seeking Him.
Yes.
And we believe in being so blessed that we can be a blessing anytime He would want us to be a blessing.
Amen.
You might say, well, you don't need money to be a blessing. That's true to an extent,
right,
but it's not true in every case.
Right.
No, that's right.
Because if somebody you know is about to lose their vehicle due to repossession, maybe you've never been there. You know, we've been there. Never had it happen, but we're at the place. I'm not talking today, but I'm just saying we've been there. We know what it's. We know what these things are like. We know what it's like to have to keep your garage door shut because somebody might come take your vehicle. You might say, did you disobey God? No, we obeyed God. And God will let you go through some places that are tough. We know what it's like. And so if you know somebody, they're about to lose something, and you want to do something for them, how many go, no, you could go just wash their car. But that's not their biggest need right now. The biggest need is not washing in a vacuum. They need somebody to catch it up. And if you want to be a big blessing while you're catching it up, you know you could just catch it all the way up. What do I mean by all the way up?
Pay it off.
Pay it off. There's levels of this thing called the blessing.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know, one level of the blessing is to be able to, just, we're talking about a car being repossessed. And thank God, God got us out of that situation. We paid off that vehicle.
Right. Yeah, we did.
Not just paid it up,
paid it off.
Paid it off. And thank God, believe God, we'll never be at that place again.
Yeah.
But anyhow, There's levels. We know one level is to be able to believe God to just make the payments on a vehicle. Another level is to maybe make bigger payments on a nicer vehicle. Then another one is to be able to just make one payment.
Yeah.
One time.
And don't just have payment faith. Believe God to have one payment, single payment faith.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you what happens when you just make the one payment.
Yeah.
And we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a motorcycle ride yesterday. I can prove it because the wind kept blowing up my... I didn't use sunscreen right here. You see? We went out on a motorcycle ride. And we both have very nice Harley Davidsons. Mm-hmm. Really nice bikes. And the best thing about it is... We could leave the garage door open. Nobody can take it because we just made one payment.
Yeah.
Well, on mine, we just made one payment. Yeah. Hers, we paid it off.
Yeah.
But one payment. And when nobody can take it, that's an avenue that the enemy can't attack you through.
Right.
Years ago, I'll just tell you this quick little story. And we are going to look at just at one thing about Abraham. And then probably, maybe you pick it up next week, or maybe I pick it up some other week. But many of you heard of a minister. He's well known. He's actually in his later 80s now. Kenneth Copeland. Do you know who? Have you heard his name? He's been around a long, long time. Still preaching, still traveling I think he's 87 years old, something like that. But years ago, I mean, I think it's been about maybe 15 years ago now, Some members of Congress did not like how blessed he was. And they said, "You're abusing the people of God, and we're going to launch a congressional investigation into you, and we're going to demand the list of all the people who gave money to you." And he said, "When hell freezes over, you're going to do that." He said, "Because that is illegal. It's private. Who donates to us is a matter for one institution, and that's called the IRS. And if they'd like it, we'll deliver it. But we're not giving it to you, Congress, for you to blab it all over the place and use it for political stuff." They said, "No, come and get it." And they actually voluntarily put information together and brought it to the IRS. Because the IRS said, "We don't want that."
Yeah, we don't need that.
But... It got to be a real big attack, and it all ended up amounting to nothing because he didn't do anything wrong. He, did things legally, and they didn't find anything on him.
Right.
But it was a publicity thing to try to cut off his support.
Yeah.
Because he was getting too blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how he said this. He said, "Well, of course the enemy's behind those things, but he uses people."
Yeah.
And he said, "I'll tell you what they wanted to do. They wanted to get me to where I couldn't make my airplane payments."
Yeah.
Now he flies because, listen, he's 87 years old. He's been a pilot his entire life.
Yeah.
And has flown privately because for him to get where he needs to get and be in the shape he's in, you couldn't even do it commercially, meaning you couldn't even schedule it to get from one place to another place. Like, you can't do it that quick. Where he was preaching and all that. So he had a Citation 10 aircraft. That's a nice aircraft. And he said they wanted me to not be able to make my airplane payment. He said, "The problem is I made my airplane payment one time."
Yeah.
"I paid for it when I bought it."
Yeah.
He said, "And so they can't take my airplane."
Yeah.
And he said, "They wanted to get to where I defaulted on the mortgage on any of the buildings. They have many buildings on their property."
Yeah.
Said, "The only problem is I don't have any mortgages."
Yeah.
"Because everything on our building we paid cash for."
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with you having to pay for a vehicle on payments or paying for a mortgage. What you need to do is obey God, follow Him.
Right.
But let's also use the example and follow people who have gotten to the place when they're not doing that. And he said, "Then they wanted me to get to where I couldn't pay my utility bills." He said, "But I don't have any utility bills because we obeyed God to buy this property and we hit oil and gas on this property and we export.
Yeah.
We export from this property.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we generate our own electricity. And he said, honestly, I'm just pretty hard to hurt.
Yeah.
That's a good place to be.
That's a good place.
That's the blessing of Abraham.
Yes.
And because he's in that place, listen to me, friends, because he's in that place, he's able to sow, everybody say millions.
Millions
of dollars every year. And what is that called? That's called being a blessing. Being a blessing. He's able to be a blessing because he's not having to believe God to keep his electricity on. He's not having to use everything. Come on now. Hundreds and hundreds of people on staff. They all get paid every week or every 2 weeks, what it is. You can get to that place where you walk in the blessing to such a degree. Now, there's another minister, and I like following people who've been around for a few, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine to when you're 20, it's fine to take the Word of God and go ahead and start preaching it and tell them what God's done for you.
Right.
But honestly, there's some people that are going to want to see some track record.
Right.
And that can take some time.
Yeah.
So you just keep living for God.
Yeah.
But there's another minister, his name's Jerry Savelle. He's also 80. I believe he's 80. And he's been around for a long time, and he makes this statement. He says, you know, our biggest household expense every month is our giving.
Yes.
That's our biggest expense. Anybody here in your budget, that's the biggest expense? Come on, you probably have a mortgage. Right? You probably have payments. You probably have other expenses. And he said, you know, we used to have all those expenses, but we don't anymore.
Right.
Now our biggest monthly, how many know you can only eat so much?
Yeah.
Right.
If McDonald's is your biggest monthly expense, you're gonna have a problem. We're going to need more than one seat for you. Right? Eventually.
Right.
But my biggest monthly expense is all the giving. Thousands and thousands from one person. Brother Copeland, his ministry, millions every year.
Amen.
That's godly.
Amen.
Because he's taking care of things and helping other ministries, things, other works that God has planted.
Yeah.
He's helping send the gospel around the world.
Right.
That's a godly thing, and you can't do it at that level if you're broke.
Right.
But if you remember the Lord your God,
Yes.
who gives you power to obtain wealth, that he may establish his covenant as he swore to your fathers and as it is this day.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I got off a little bit, but verse 2, I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Look at this. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I really tried, I fully intended to give you examples of how blessed Abraham was. But our time slipped away from us today. And I blame you. Because why should I have to blame myself? I'd rather just feel good about me and say it wasn't my fault. That's what most Christians do anyhow. Come on, don't they? No, I'm just playing. No, listen, how many know I feel like what we did say was right to say today. But there's examples that I want to give you. I want to tell you and show you how Abraham, in times that were not good economically and in times where you'd look like he was going to lose everything, how he increased and increased and increased and was able to be a great blessing to others. I still want to show you that because that belongs to you. You've been connected to it.
Yeah.
It's part of your inheritance.
Right.
Okay, I'm told by the pastor to at least give you one. You want that?
Yes.
At least just one. Just one. Okay, I'm not going to keep you long because we only have the building for a few more minutes here, but. So, let's just stay in chapter 12.
Okay.
And in verse 10, we'll just give you this one. Thank you, Father. We just read verse 3, right?
Yep.
Verse 4 says, so Abram went.
Yep.
I'm going to know if he didn't go. Nothing that we read in verse 2 and 3 would have happened.
Right.
He had to leave the place God told him to leave.
Yeah.
When he's 75 years old.
Yeah.
So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. You wondered how I knew that. That's how I knew. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. And look at this. All their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran and set out to the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here they go. And they're not there very long when trouble comes.
Yeah.
And verse 10 says, now there was a famine in the land. How many know a famine is an economic downturn, a severe, yes?
Right.
Severe economic problems.
Yeah.
For them, everything had to do with agriculture, how they grew. So it was a famine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's growing.
Right.
People aren't eating. You're not selling.
Right.
You're in trouble. So there was a famine in the land, and it was so bad, it says, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And so where did Abram go? Now, Egypt in the Bible, Egypt always represents what we call the world system, the natural world system. Egypt represents that. So he goes down to Egypt. In other words, we'll just go read on just a little bit. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me and let you live. Egypt was the economic center of that day. How many know if you go, did they have cosmetics back in Egypt? Oh, yeah. They had beauty treatments. But they ain't seen nothing like it. Sarah. And Abraham's like, you are so beautiful. This has nothing to do with the message. I better get back here. But this does have something to do. And so they actually took Sarah. They actually took her and brought her to the king.
Yeah.
And verse 14 says, when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I want you to see. How many know that looks like subtraction in Abraham's life?
Right?
Mm-hmm. The one said, I had to leave my home, and we had the stuff with us. Now there's a famine, and we're forced to leave, go to this other place, but at least I have my hot wife. Come on now. That's what he's saying. At least I have my beautiful woman. And now they take Sarah. And what's going on here? Why is Abraham in Egypt?
Famine.
Severe famine.
Yeah.
Now look at this. Verse 16, and for her sake, he, talking about Pharaoh, dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants. Stop right there. You might not be believing God for sheep and ox, but what was this in the time of famine? Abraham, with the blessing on him, goes down. It looks like things going wrong because they take Sarah.
Yeah. Right.
But he deals with Abraham and gives him sheep and ox and male donkeys and male servants.
Right.
Do you see the level of increase?
Yeah.
Now it goes even a level higher. When it says female servants and female donkeys. How come? Because male donkeys will live for a while, and then what are they going to do?
Die.
They're going to die.
Right.
But if you have a male donkey and a female, hold your ears if you're young. If you have a male donkey and a female donkey,
you're going to have baby donkeys.
What do you have? It's called passive income.
Oh.
It's called passive income. You only have to buy one of each.
Come on, yeah.
And they will reproduce themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But who's going to take care of them? Well, you have male servants. And that's good. But a male servant's only going to last so long. Then he's going to die. But if you got a female servant and a male servant, what do you have?
Passive income.
Passive income. Meaning the female servant and the male servant, they're going to make more female and male servants.
Right.
And it's your herds. I know you're laughing. You're good. Your herds and your flocks are now everybody say multiplying. They're multiplying. Do you understand what this is, everybody? I hope I'm not boring you. Do you know what this is? We're talking about a severe famine.
Yeah.
This would be almost the equivalent, because donkeys were transportation. People would ride on donkeys. This would be like somebody coming to you in a recession or a depression. And not saying, I'm going to give you a car.
No.
But saying, because a donkey was transportation, a car is transportation. Not, I'm going to give you a car. I'm going to give you a dealership.
Yeah, right.
I'm going, and not only am I going to give you this dealership, you're not going to have to buy any inventory.
Right.
Because they reproduce.
Yeah.
These donkeys are reproducing.
Yeah.
And so it'd be like somebody saying, I'll just keep buying your inventory.
Yeah.
And I'll staff you with all your workers.
Right.
And all you have to do is collect the income.
Yeah.
This is amazing prosperity. And when is this taking place?
In a
during a severe famine.
Yep.
Listen, everybody, we'll get to more of it later. Yeah. This is just a taste.
Right.
That's not normal. People lose stuff when times are bad. They lose stuff when times are bad. This, Abraham increased exponentially during bad times due to the blessing of the Lord. And we'll study it some more another time. That's all for today. Well, why don't you stand up if you would?
Praise the Lord.
I know I preached long, but how many know, really, was it really long to get to when you think about what you got? We looked at a lot today.
Yeah.
So let's just pray before we're dismissed. In fact, pray this with us, if you would. Just repeat this after me. Father God, thank you for your word.
Thank you for
what you've shown us today
about the blessing of the Lord.
And thank you that it belongs to me.
Teach me along these lines.
Lead me and show me.
And
I give you thanks for all the good things. As you make me a blessing to others.
As you make me a blessing
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.